الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. وقال تعالى: قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. وقال تعالى: والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن في الجسد مدغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, just as a reminder, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. On this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, we ought to recite and increase our salawat and salam upon Habibul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One alim said very, very beautifully that the best gift that a person can confer upon the best of creation, that is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the best of ummah, on the best of days, that is the Yawmul Jumu'ah, is none other than Durood Sharif. That salawat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant us the tawfiq that daily we recite salawat and salam. And on the day of Jumu'ah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, Akthiru alayhi as-salah, that increase. Recite as much as possible, 1,000 times, even more. Allah grant us all as a tawfiq, inshallah. As the Shaykh al-Hadith has mentioned an incident in Fazari Durood, it is mentioned that Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullahi alayhi said that once there was a very pious person, he was seen in a dream after he had passed away, and he asked him in the dream that how did he fare. So he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call me to account. And then Allah ta'ala ordered the malaika that count all this, my gunas, all my sins. All the sins a person can think of from the time of he became baligh till he passed away. The minor sins, the major sins, the sins done knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally. Those sins done in the brightness of the day, of the darkness of the night. So the malaika, they start counting. And then they come to a certain figure. Allah Ta'ala is obviously fully aware of all, everything. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell malaika that count all the durood and salawat and salam this person recited whilst he was alive. The different occasions, on the day of Jumu'ah, in salah, out of salah, whilst driving, whilst walking, whilst lying down, while serving customers. So they start counting all the salawat and salam. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala will tell the malaika that see which is more. Is it sins more or the salawat and salam more? And then they find that the salawat and salam exceeds that of his gunas. So Allah Ta'ala will tell the malaika that don't take further any reckoning or any hisab, take him, put him into Jannah. So imagine the barakat of durood. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of realizing the auspiciousness and the greatness of salawat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also on this day of Jumu'ah, that we ought to recite the entire Surah Kaf. Our Shaykh Hazrat Hamid Sahib Dawam Barakat explains that daily we should recite the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses of Surah Kaf. And alhamdulillah, many people, especially during the COVID period, many people were not sure what to do, whether to do social distancing, whether to wear the mask, whether to take the vaccine. But many people, alhamdulillah, who made amal on this, right, reading the first 10 verses, the last 10 verses, they could see through all this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them. So, when Yusuf Binori rahmatullahi, he says that every day when the sun rises, it rises with a new fitna. And the greatest fitna is the fitna of Dajjal. And by us reciting the entire Surah Kaf on the day of Jumu'ah, one of the greatest benefits, inshallah, that it will save us from Dajjal and the fitnas of Dajjal. And looking at all the riwayats from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one common thing, which is mention of Noor. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever reads the beginning verse of Surah Kaf and the concluding verse of Surah Kaf, Allah will create a nur for him, a effulgence, a light from beneath his feet till his head. And the person who recites the entire Surah Kaf, Allah will create a nur for him from his feet where he is, right till the heavens, till the skies. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever reads the entire Surah Kaf, then Allah adha lahu min al-nur bayn al-jum'atayn. Or kama qal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever reads Surah al-Kaf on a Friday, Allah will create a effulgence, a light for him from this Friday till next Friday. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads Surah al-Kaf, Allah will create a nur for him till the day of Qiyamah. It will shine min maqamihi, from where he is, right till Makkah al-Mukarramah. So in every aspect, if you look at it, it is only nur, nurun ala nur. And on the day of Qiyamah, this nur will help us. Nurum yas'a bayna aydihim wa bi'aymanihim. That the believers, when they will find that nur, when they cross the sirat, the bridge, and then it will be darkness. But this nur of iman, this nur of amal, this nur of Surah Al-Kaf, inshallah, will come to the fore. And nur yas'a bayn, they will pass very, very easily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala says, and they will make dua, Rabbana atmim lana nurana. O Allah, complete and perfect this nur for us. So Allah grant us the tawfiq that every Friday we read Surah Al-Kaf. And as I mentioned, one common thing is mentioned nur. And there's a true story what I'm going to mention. There was one youngster, unfortunately he got involved with having a relationship with a young girl, talking to her, whatever it is. So his guilty conscience pricked him, so he came to his sheikh. So he told Sheikh, I got a problem. So he said, the Sheikh asked him, what's the problem? He said, no, I'm having discussions with this girl. She's not, I'm not a mahram to her. And it is totally wrong. Give me some wazifa to read. So the Sheikh told him that wake up at the time of tahajjud and read this dua. Allahumma ij'alni nura. Allah, make me an embodiment of nur. Fi qalbi nura. Put nur in my heart. Fi basari nura. In my eyes. Fi uzuni nura, in my ears. So this youngster, he looked down, he started crying. So the Sheikh told him, mashallah, see how effective this dua is. So he said, Sheikh, what can I tell you? This girl's name is Nura. So you putting Nura in my eyes, in my ears, in my heart, everywhere. So nevertheless, respected brothers, Allah will put that real Nur in our hearts, inshallah. Respected brothers, we know is the beginning of our Islahi Jalsa, and today is the day of Jumu'ah. So just as an introduction, inshallah, we'll find that insan is a combination of body and soul, what we call the ruh. There are different stages of the ruh. It's about five stages. The first stage was what we call Alim Alast, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the entire universe, all the souls were there. Allah Ta'ala asked, Alastu bi Rabbikum qalu bala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the souls, am I not your Rabb? And all of them in unison, they all said, definitely you are our Rabb. Thereafter, when the child was in the womb of the mother, after approximately 120 days, 4 months approximately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now caused an angel to blow a ruh in the child. So that is the second stage. And then when the child came into this world, then that is the third stage. And then the fourth stage, when the person passes away, then the ruh is either taken to Illiyin or is taken to Sijjin. Allah make us amongst the Illiyin. That is the place of the ruh of the people, of the pious people. And thereafter, when the person passes away, he is buried, his body is in a qabr. Then his ruh is returned for questioning. And thereafter, if everything goes successfully, then his ruh, inshallah, will turn into a form of a green bird and it will fly in Jannat. So these are the various stages of the ruh. But ask any person, they will tell you that people normally pay a lot of attention, not to the ruh, but the body. Today, everything that we see, the entire system, the entire universe, every department, every facet, where it is the governmental departments, where it is people that are making machines. Look at our own machine. We got a ruin in our machine. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And this machine is working on other machines. And these machines are of benefit and providing comfort for our body. If you look at the cosmetic industry, very lucrative. The beauty industry, everything is for the body. If you look at health, the supplements a person takes, the vitamins he takes, all is for the body. Then we look at transport. Every type of transport is actually to transport the body. And if you look at the hospitals, so many hospitals, where I come from, in my young days, I remember there were only 3 government hospitals. Now, without any exaggeration, with all the private hospitals and the government hospitals put together, is approximately about 10. So the hospitals are increasing. If the hospitals are there, they're extending all the time. Why? This is all for the body. And in the hospital itself, you'll find so many different departments, so many different doctors, surgeons, specialists. Just for the eye only, there are so many specialists that are required for the eye. We all know the cardiologist focuses on the heart. But if a person does some in-depth research, he will find there's so many other specialists regarding the heart. So many names, sometimes all tongue twisters, but all for the heart. Everything is for the body. But is there any place that where person services his ruh? What we call in our terms, the daru taskiya, the zawiyas, or the khankas. If it is a khanka, it is maybe only functioning, weekly, or maybe in the month of Ramadan. But a full khanka, that is our spiritual hospitals. That is where our ruh is being fashioned, and it is where the sifat of akhlaq hamidiya in sal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ruh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us a nafs. And these are used interchangeably. Sometimes Allah says ruh, sometimes Allah ta'ala uses nafs. Now the question is, what controls the body? If the ruh, which is spiritually healthy, controls the body, this person will enjoy hayat and tayyibah, will enjoy a good life. But if the nafs, which is spiritually sick, controls the body, then he is heading for destruction. If a person, a youngster, is driving a brand new BMW, and that BMW is very, very fast, now he doesn't know how to drive that car, he loses control, he destroys himself, he destroys the other people's lives, and he can even destroy the car. But that is the when the nafs is controlling the body. But now if the ruh, which is spiritually strong, an effort is made on the ruh, and then respected brothers, if the ruh is strong, then he controls the body, then just like that person who drives a car very fast speed, but he are able to enjoy that ride, he will be able to reach the destination. And our destination, inshallah, is towards Jannah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the different stages of the nafs and everything, we should understand that in this world that we are living, lot of attention is given to the body. Very, very little attention is given to the ruh. And this is the command, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِي الرُّوحِ. Allah Ta'ala asked, they asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding the ruh. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, it is from the order, the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then very briefly, respected brothers, that we all know, there are 3 types of nafs. Nafs al-lawwama, nafs al-ammara, lawwama, and mutma'inna. In the 13 juz, in the beginning of the 13 juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's qissah, ammaratum bisu. So it incessantly commands and inspires a person to do evil. But effort is required. And this effort is not easy. This is mentioned in the 13 para. And then surah in the 29 para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. So it means from the 13 para till 29 para, so many paras, what it shows that a lot of effort needs to be made on the nafs. Once it becomes lawama, then respected brothers, just a little more effort is needed, then it becomes mutma'inna. that ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Allah make us of that nafs mutma'inna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, kalla idha balagat at-taraqi wa qila man raq, that when the soul reaches the collarbone, then Allah ta'ala asks the question, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاق, who is going to cure this? Who is going to stop the ruh? A person can spend billions of dollars, and that when the ruh comes out, no one can put the ruh back. So, Mala Sarim Dorat Sahib, Daan Barakat, gives a very beautiful example. He says, a person is a king, he's a tyrant, he's a cruel king. A person fears him. As long as the ruh is in him, then he's got life. But no sooner the ruh leaves him, there is no fear. Similarly, when the person passes away, that even that the person is in ICU, there are machines, there is life support, etc., then the doctor sees to that person. Why? The ruh is still over there. You can't even issue a death certificate. The nurses will attend to him, etc. And then if he has to pass away, then we know what will happen. People will say, what time is the janazah? They will not even take the name of that person. Then they will ask, where is the body? Where is the deceased? Where is the corpse? A person can be ugly. He can be deformed. He can be paralyzed. He can have some defects. His body, you look at him outwardly, there's nothing to comment. But if his ruh is spiritually strong, such a person is a successful person. On the other hand, a person may be very, very physique, he might be very strong. He's got a personal dietitian, personal trainer to look after his health, his body, etc. But if his nafs and his ruh is spiritually sick, then he's heading for disaster. So this is the difference between the nafs and the body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even takes qasams in the Quran al-Kareem. Many people, inshallah, will be speaking about this later on in the different programs. Allah Ta'ala in Washamsi takes about 11 qasams. And what does Allah Ta'ala say is, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّهَا, but the qasam of the nafs and the one who had proportioned it to perfection. فَأَلْهَمَهَا, Allah inspired, which entails فُجُورَهَا, which entails sin. وَتَقْوَاهَا, and it also entails taqwa. That means piety. Allah first mentions regarding fujur, sin. So when a person makes effort, and inshallah, then he'll come from ammara to lawama, more effort is required, inshallah, then he'll come to mutma'inna. Also, we should understand that there are differences between a person who has physical diseases and spiritual diseases. This is something very, very important to understand. If a person has some physical bimari, some diseases, Allah keep us or afiyat and save us, then it is very easily discernible. A person goes for x-rays, he goes for blood tests. After the blood test, after the x-ray, the doctor, the surgeon will tell him, this is wrong, this is the problem, and you need to do this, you need to do that. Unlike regarding our spiritual diseases, this is not easy discernible. This requires effort. This only will be possible when a person goes sit in the company of the mashayikh, the ahlullah. The second difference is that to take medication is sunnah. If a person is sick, to take medication is sunnah. But if a person has spiritual diseases, then to treat himself over here in this situation, then he becomes faraz. Thirdly, respected brothers, when a person is physically sick, then this, and he makes sabr upon his condition, this actually becomes a means of reward in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, when a person is physically, spiritually sick, then he, if he doesn't make effort on his spiritual diseases, then he will be punished. And he will be getting, he will not be rewarded, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to task. Also, fourthly, a person who's got physical diseases, this brings him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, a person who's got spiritual diseases, bimaris, He becomes distant from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, when a person got physical diseases, it ends with mouth. If a person had cancer, if he had heart problem, angina, and if because of that, that became a bahana of his death, then that's the end of it. In his grave, he will not suffer of any heart disease or any cancer. But if a person dies with spiritual diseases and he did not make tazkiyah, then that is the beginning of all these problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding jannat, وَذَٰلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The jannat is an abode for that person who makes tazkiyah, who purifies himself. And this, respected brothers and elders, we make shukr that we have the mashayikh around us, our spiritual doctors. There was one person, he was going for the heart operation. So he went, first time in his life he's been to experience, he's being under the knife. So he was pacing up and down, what's going to happen? So the nurse comes and calls him into the room. And so he comes into the room. Now the nurse begins speaking. The nurse says, you know what, I understand it's your first time, that before you know it, it'll be over. There's always a first time for everything. I got confidence in you. Before you know it, it'll be over. And everything will come right. So the patient speaks and responds, said, oh, thank you, nurse. I feel much better now. So the nurse tells him, sorry, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the doctor. This is his first operation. So what's going to happen to that bicharo? So alhamdulillah, we have the spiritual doctors as well. The spiritual mashayikh who operate in our hearts. So there are three in this time that we got left. So there are three things that a person needs to do. One is the suhbat of the pious people. As Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu, when he went to Sham, normally when a person travels, he's worried about his patkos. He's worried about his accommodation. But look at the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He makes dua when he goes to Sham. And he makes, Allahumma yassir li jalisan sadiha. Allah, make it possible that I be in a company of a pious person. When he finishes his dua, subhanallah, Allah makes it such, the first person his sight falls on is none other than the great Sahabi Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So they were worried about their piety. They were worried about the suhbat of the pious people. As Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when anything used to trouble him, when he had any doubts, and then people used to ask him questions, then what he used to say? He says, Salu Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, fa'innahu jalasa salihin. Imagine, he's a Sahabi. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi. Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi is a Tabi. So much of confidence he has, and what does he tell the people? That ask Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi these questions, because fa'innahu jalasa salihin, he has sat in the company of the pious people. So, sitting in the company of these mashayikh, these buzruks, they definitely will have an effect on us. That the poet says very, very beautifully, Nigahe wali ki ye ta'asir deki. That sitting in the company of the mashayikh, having this gaze and another of the pious person, just by sitting in their company, ke hazaron ki badalte hazaron ki takdeer dekhi. People's takdeer had changed. People who were fasiks became salih. Those people who were far away from deen came closer to deen. Those who were distant away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who were far away from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came closer to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, we know such a great scholar, a giant. What does he say regarding himself? He says, لولا سنتان لهلك النعمان. That if I did not spend those 2 years with Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu anhu in that company, making sohbat in his company, then لهلك النعمان. Nu'man, that is Imam Abu Hanifa, would have been destroyed. This was the caliber of these pious people. That even they understood the importance of sitting in the company of the mashayikh. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, yeah, he mentioned once he's read this poem, Yak Zamana Basuhbata Uliya, Bahtara Sadsala Beria. He said that sitting in a company of the pious people is better than 100 years of worship without any riya ostentation. So he came with this poetry to his Sheikh Mala Shavaritani Rahmatullahi. And he told Hazrat, you know, these poets, sometimes they exaggerate. They go overboard. Doesn't make sense to me. That sitting in a company of the Sheikh, that it is better than 100 years of ibadat without any ostentation and riya. So Maheshwari Thani Ramatullahi asked him, Mufti Sahab, can you give me permission to make some adjustments, corrections? He said, Hazrat, by all means, you my Sheikh. So instead of putting 100, he put 100,000. So Mufti Shafi Sahab said, I couldn't fathom 100, but Hazrat, you're saying better than 100,000 years. So Maheshwari Thani Ramatullahi made him understand. He said, whether it is 100 years or whether it is 100,000 years, just by sitting in the company of these mashayikh, that by one nazar of theirs, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make things wonders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the person's takdir. Obviously, this also requires the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will be explained, some type of mujahada, etc. And we actually are like the thorns. One, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtasar Rahmatullahi used to say, that the thorn complains because of his abject insignificance. It is looked down, the person looks at the roses, flowers, etc. But what stands out are the roses, are the flowers, and what doesn't stand out is something doesn't appeal to anyone, is the thorns. So he complained and said, I'm something of abject insignificance, and people look down upon me, people want to pluck me. So Mala Rumi Rahmatullahi advises the thorn and tells him that be in the company of the petals of the rose. Just be under the skirt of the petals of the rose. Wherever the roses go, you will also be included. If that bunch of roses you are paying 50 rand or 100 rand, you will be also included in that price. If the bunches of roses are going to someone's beloved, you will also witness that scene. So we are like those thorns. We just have to be in the company of the roses, of these mashayikh, of the awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make no mistake, these awliya Allah are present till the day of Qiyamah. I will mention my personal experience. There was a very pious person. He has passed away. Allah grant him jannat. Allah marhum jannat for those. So one day he came to a masjid and he started off the majlis with these words. He said, the days of tasawuf are over. So people are looking alarm and say, Hazrat, what are you trying to say? He said, the Mala Masila Rahmatullahi has come and he's gone. Mufti Mahmud Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullahi has come and he's gone. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mala Muhammad Zakari Sahib Rahmatullahi has come and gone. And all the awliya before them, Mala Rashid Ahmad Gangoi, Mala Qasim Nanoti, Haji Imdadullah. He said, those days of tasawuf are gone. The days of tasawuf are not to be found today. So now this barakat of sitting in the company of the mashayikh. So I had this desire now, the next majlis, I will come and ask Hazrat Muhammad Amir Sahib that does it make sense, that is this correct? And subhanallah, without even asking, wallah, I'm sitting in the majlis, without even asking, Hazrat started off the majlis with, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. And then Hazrat elaborated and he said, see, people might make statements that the mashayikh are nowhere to be found. But Allah's command is till the day of Qiyamah. Allah's ayats, this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem is till the day of Qiyamah. And the Sadiqeen, Allah will produce them till the day of Qiyamah. So just by sitting in this company of the mashayikh, how many things can be attained? Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi, it is mentioned about him, he was connected to Khwaja Baqi Billahi Rahmatullahi. So he explained that whoever was connected to Khwaja Baqi Billahi Rahmatullahi, then there were three types of people. One person should make this observation that our Shaykh is an ordinary Shaykh. Then there was a second group of people who made this statement that our Shaykh is a very great Shaykh. But the third group of people, they said that our Shaykh, there is no substitute like our Shaykh. He is the Shaykh of our Zamana. And Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi fell in this third category. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took work from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it depends on our attitude. That we sit in their company and we take benefit, and most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us inshallah. But also very important is to have knowledge as well. As Imam Malik rahmatullahi has quoted, and he said, "Man tafaqqaha wa lam yatasawwuf faqad tafassaqa." That person who engages in a learning, mashallah, becoming an alim, a qari, a mufti, but he doesn't make taluk with some sheikh, this department of tasawwuf, it doesn't interest him. Then he mentioned, faqad tafassaqa, this person is most liable, he'll fall into gunas. Then the other hand, he mentions, وَمَنْ تَصَوَّفْ وَلَمْ يَتَفَقَّهْ. That person is only involved in tasawuf and doesn't pay any attention towards learning deen, towards learning important aspects of deen. Then he mentions that فَقَدْ تَزَنْدَقَ. Very, very likely this person will become a hypocrite. But he mentioned, draw a balance. وَمَنْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَهُمَا فَقَدْ تَحَقَّقَ. Whoever combines the both, in other words, learning the aspects of deen together with tasawuf, then he will remain on haq, inshallah. This is something very, very important. And also understand, the sheikh is only the means. The sheikh actually is a distributor. He is the medium, he is the channel. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاصِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِيهِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I am only the one who distributes, whereas Allah is the one who gives us. Mufti Mahmud sahab rahmatullahi alayhi gives a beautiful example. He says, like water that comes from the heavens, it is pure, it is clean. And that pure water falls on marble, which is also pure, it is clean. And that water gathers in a gutter, and that gutter, now that water comes down the gutter, so whoever is standing in the bottom of the gutter, he will benefit from the clean water. Whereas that water was not made in the gutter. That water was never made in a gutter. It came down from the heavens. So he explains in a very beautiful way that ilham, the inspiration, comes directly from Allah in the hearts of the mashayikh. And then they are able to distribute it to all the muridin. They are able to benefit the muridin. So many a times you will find, like Manashav Ali Thani rahmatullahi mentioned, there are so many benefits. One murid came to Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi and asked him that, what intention should I make when I sit in the company of my sheikh? So Hazrat told him, just make one intention. This one intention that, oh Allah, I'm going to my sheikh to benefit from him. Then Manashav Ali Thani rahmatullahi expounded. He said, but this one intention of yours, there are multiple benefits. And he explained that sitting in the company of the pious, that piety will rub on you. Sitting in the company of the pious, your knowledge will increase. Sitting in the company of these pious people, then your whatever actions you are doing wrong, inshallah, today barakat will be rectified. And also very, very importantly, your islah of tazkiyatun nafs will take place. So he said, just one intention, look at the benefits. Manashav Ali Thani rahmatullahi himself says that when I used to go to Manar Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, sometimes I had doubts. Sometimes I had some objections I wanted to ask. Then he said, subhanallah, one of four or five things used to happen. He said, sometimes I used to go and without even asking, Hazrat rahmatullahi used to speak on that subject. So I used to get my answer in that majlis. He said, sometimes I shouldn't ask the question, someone else asked the question on my behalf, which was bothering me, and I used to get the answer. And thirdly, he mentions, sometimes it was a silent majlis. No speaking at all. Manashri Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi is absolutely quiet. And in front of him is Manathani rahmatullahi. He said, just the tawajju, my doubts were cleared. And then he said, sometimes I used to ask the question. Then Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi asked, he said, who is asking the question? So he said, Ashraf Ali. Then he said, he used to keep quiet. And this make tawajju. And then with that tawajjuh, subhanAllah, all the doubts were dispelled. All those objections were removed. Just by sitting in the company of these mashayikh. I only give an example that today we are so accustomed when we travel, we carry our garments, our GPS, our ways, etc. And we punch in our details. And this, it makes our life so easy. For example, the GPS, we know it's connected to a satellite on top. Now you punch in your coordinates and then that person will speak that this is the quickest route, avoid this turn, avoid this detour, avoid that road, in front there are traps, and this is the quickest route, they will show you the time, the distance, etc. So likewise, we also need a GPS. G, good, P, pious, S, sheikh. Good, pious, sheikh. But I'll go further and say in today's time, genuine pious sheikh. Because there are a lot of fraudulence and fly-by-nights. We have to be careful. So our mashayikh that we have around us, alhamdulillah, they are not fly-by-nights. They are the genuine mashayikh, inshallah. So now, just like the GPS, that signal from the satellite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending signals in the heart to that pious person, to that sheikh of yours. And that sheikh is showing the road towards Jannat. Naqsha qadam nabi ke hai Jannat ke raaste. And what sunnat ke raaste, sabse ashal tariqa, sabse ajmal tariqa, sabse akmal tariqa. Mala Yusuf bin Nuri, sabse akrab tariqa. So the Shaykh will show you the quickest route to Jannat, the easiest route to Jannat. And he will even tell you and inform you of the traps of nafs and shaitan. That hujibatin naru bi shahawat, hujibal jannatu bil makari. The Shaykh will warn you that these are the traps of nafs, these are the traps of shaitan, be careful, don't take this route. And sometimes we make mistakes, we are traveling on the pathway of shaitan, nafs have become our driver, we're driving on the right, wrong side of the road, at the fast speed. Now the Shaykh will tell you, put brakes on the nafs, now make tawbah, make repentance, have regret, and have remorse. Now you make a U-turn, just like the GPS will tell you, recalculating. The Shaykh will recalculate for you the route towards Jannah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's important, we got a GPS, but we're not putting our coordinates in it, we're not putting our information, we'll be driving aimlessly, wandering aimlessly in circles. So it is incumbent that we inform that two things are needed, ittila wa ittiba. That we inform the Shaykh and we follow his prescriptions. So that is the first point. And the second thing that what is needed, respected brothers, is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, other mashallah ulama, the mashayikh will be expounding of it during the 2 days of this jalsa. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something very, very important. And this is one of the commands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, dhikran kathira. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, سَبَقَ الْمُفَرِّدُونَ, that the mufarridun are gone ahead. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who are the mufarridun? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ ذَاكِرُونَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَاكِرَاتٍ. Oh, kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those believing men and those believing women who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سِقَالَ, everything has a cleanser. And the cleanser of the heart is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only in the dhikr of Allah that a person will find contentment. Ala bidhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahabi radiallahu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyul mujahideena a'zamu ajran. For amongst the mujahids, those who are participating in war and they are giving their lives, who are the best of those who gain the most reward? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى ذِكْرًا. That mujahid who engages in abundance of dhikr. Then this person asked, أَيُّ الصَّائِمِينَ أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. Among those people who keep fast, who will get their most reward? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again mentioned, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى ذِكْرًا. That person who makes the dhikr of Allah in abundance. Thereafter, the Sahabi asked different aspects of deen with regards to Hajj, Salah, Sadaqah, Zakat. And everyone, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the same thing. The person who remembers Allah the most. So, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu addressed Abu Umar, Ya Abu Umar, oh Ya Abu Hafs, oh the father of Hafs, it seems that the Zakirun has taken the greatest lot. In other words, they've taken the greatest sawab. Then Umar radiyallahu anhu said, Ajal, why not? Definitely. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, the nafs has enjoyment in all types of wrong, haram, whether it is looking at our phones, all the wrong things, whether it is going to the cinemas, whether it is going to the nightclubs, etc. The nafs enjoys all these things. But the ruh, what is the soul, what is the food of the ruh? It is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this we need to be in the company of the mashayikh, how to teach us how much of zikr to make, how to make zikr. So here also, time is going that we should make the zikr of Allah with lazzat. And we should try and do it with pabandi, regularly inshallah. And ask our mashayikh how much of zikr to make, how to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very important. Lastly, the last step that a person needs to make is mujahada. And this mujahada, as Shah Hakim Akhtasar rahmatullah alayhi has given an example. He says, look at that sesame seeds. That sesame seeds, initially it is polished and it is clean, till only a flimsy thin layer is left. And if a person has to take a pen and prick it, then sesame oil will come out from there. He said, when that sesame seeds, they are now cleansed, they are washed, they are polished, they are taken and they are now strewn upon the flowers of roses and jasmine. He said, but just being in the company of these roses and jasmine, that the oil that comes out is not sesame oil, but now it becomes the essence of rose oil, essence of jasmine oil. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Shah Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that sesame seeds went through some mujahada. And then after going through some mujahada, it stayed in the company of the flowers which we call the mashayikh of the time. And then what did they become? They became jasmine oil. And they became oil that which is very expensive, rose oil, jasmine oil. They became very, very valuable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that, just to repeat, that we need to work on our ruh. And today, a lot of attention is given to the body. Every faculty of a department in this world is focusing on the body. We need to focus on the ruh, because the body is only the vehicle. The body will end up in the qabr, but the ruh will continue. And then when a person makes effort on his nafs, as from the first stage of ammara till lawama, then inshallah mutma'inna, then the person inshallah will enjoy life. Then the person inshallah will look forward to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how this will come about? By three things. One is to sit in the company of the pious people. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Be with the pious people inshallah. And the pious people are available. They are there, mashallah. And sometimes it's nice to make people laugh now and then. Make them smile. Make your wife smile also. You know, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah said, in Urdu, your wife is called Begum. You should actually make them Begum. If a person understands, Begum is your wife, but make them Begum. Don't give them any problems. Don't give them any taklif. So one day, my wife is telling me, you know, all these buzruks are just leaving us one by one. And she mentioned all the names, Mana Yusuf Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Mana Harun Abbas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Mala Yusuf, Mala Yunus Daya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, she gave other names. So I told her, make shukar, I'm still with you. Make dua. That's a joke, but the real one I would like to mention is our Hazrat, when he mentioned one day he was walking with our Bibi Apa, both of them, Dawan Barakatum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them with afiyat and sihat. So Bibi Apa was asking Hazrat, you know, you read in the kitabs that in the Haram Sharif, from this door, this buzruk comes out, from that door, you see this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where all these mashayikh and buzruk. So Hazrat said, Can't you see who's next to you? I'm standing right next to you. And that is the haqiq, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favor us with all the akhlaq hamidiyah, inshallah. Make us the genuine servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah grant us the tawfiq of taking benefit from all the talks that are going to take place. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.